Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just your blessing in our lives. We thank you, Father, for how you work in the hearts of each one of us. Father, we're only here because you have called us to be here. We thank you that the Lord Jesus died and rose again so that we might stand before you in his righteousness. So, Lord, as we look at your word today, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would guide my words and guide the understanding of all that are here. May we be encouraged by your words, Father, and may we come away enlightened by your Spirit, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. As you might remember, just in way of introduction, while Paul was in Ephesus, he heard that the church in Corinth was going through a lot of different kinds of turmoil. They had a lot of problems going on, so he wrote this letter to address some of those. So his first letter to the church at Corinth was the result of hearing of the problems that the church was having. They had a lack of unity. They had a lack of selfless love. They were utilizing earthly wisdom rather than godly wisdom. The spiritual gifts that each one was blessed with were not necessarily being used properly so that God was being glorified. Corinth was a city that was full of pagan worship, and the Christians, those that had come to know the Lord, were actually living more like Corinthians than they were Christians. They had the same problem that we all face, and that they had a sin nature. And while they had professed Christ, they had a hard time doing away with the ways in which they had lived previous to God. That's a problem that each one of us have. We have a life before Christ, and sometimes those tendencies that we had at that time have a way of creeping back into what we do. So these two verses in chapter 16 kind of summarize what Paul exhorted the church in Corinth to do. So it says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love." As we look at the simple admonition of these verses, I think we'll take each point separately and look at it from the perspective of what God's word says in regard to implementing those points into our lives. When we look at the word watch, it seems like a pretty straightforward word, and in many ways that it is. One analogy is when we watch a sports game and we see a late hit or some other penalty committed, we assess whether or not the official was right if the player really did commit that penalty. If it was valid, we form an opinion as to the moral character of that individual. What this means is we decide, based on our own beliefs and standards, if the person did something wrong. The official of the sports game, he uses the rule book for that particular sport to determine whether or not that individual did something wrong. But we use God's word. That's what we use to determine the right and the wrong of things. That's where we find the truths of God's word that we can apply to our life that allows us to live in a way that brings honor and glory to God. In light of that, we'll look at what the Bible says regarding watching. Jesus spoke about watching specifically in Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. And it says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And this is a truth that we all need to hide in our hearts. We have a tendency to think, well, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen at some time in the future, and we don't know that. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen today. Watching refers to an awareness of what is occurring around us. Specifically, it means to not be asleep, but to be morally alert and sober as the day of the Lord approaches. To be mentally and spiritually prepared for the coming of Christ. This admonition also refers to the false teachers that crept into the church at Corinth and can come into the churches of today as well. A deviation from God's word is a sure indicator that the person does not follow God. How can we know what God's word says if we don't read and study it, allowing His Holy Spirit to have dominion over our thoughts? The importance of letting God's word and His Spirit direct our everyday lives cannot be overemphasized. If we do not allow the Lord to have dominion over our hearts and our minds, then we will always fall back into sin. Be aware of what is occurring around you in your daily walk. Sometimes we become so focused on what's taking place immediately and within our view that we miss what else is happening. Evaluate what you see and hear against the truths of Scripture. Just as a sports official makes decisions based upon the rule book, so should we base decisions upon God's word. Watch and see all things through God's eyes. And the only way we can do that is to know what God's word says. The next point is to stand fast in the faith. There's a country music song that contains the line, "You have to stand for something or you will fall for anything." These words are really pointed and they're very true, especially in today's world of relativism. What's true for you isn't necessarily true for me. If we buy into that kind of a philosophy, then the truths of God's word are minimized. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, the writer refers to standing in the truth of the gospel. Galatians 5:1 tells us to stand fast in the liberty of Christ and not return to a yoke of bondage. 1 Thessalonians 3:8 tells us that if we stand fast in the Lord, we will live. So how do we stand fast? Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16 states that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Knowing God's word, seeking godly wisdom from fellow believers, seeking God's direction through prayer are just a few ways in which we can prevent ourselves from being tossed like a boat on the sea with no guidance. Do you have someone that you could go to for godly wisdom in your life? If you needed to run an idea past somebody within your sphere of influence, do you have someone that you could do that with? It's important for us to be able to do that. The Bible talks about three cords of rope, how one cord will break, but if you braid all three of them together, it's very strong. And that's the way the truth is, where we can rely upon somebody else, we can seek godly wisdom from a fellow believer, and we can look at things from the perspective of what God's word says. It's important to be able to do that. Jesus told his disciples, when he called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." When we follow Jesus, our own desires and thoughts must be placed secondary to what he wants us to do. We try to live as Jesus did. We can't because we're not perfect as he was. But we follow him, we follow his teachings, and by doing that, we are able to walk in a way that brings us closer to Christ. Stand fast in the faith. Don't give up. Be brave. When we choose to follow Jesus, we set ourselves against the world. Jesus foretold that those who are his will face persecution because of their faith. Oftentimes I've heard it said that if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your life will get better. Things will just smooth out and things will be good. And in many ways, that's true, because there's a lot of turmoil in our life that does go away once we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts. But that's not completely true, because we will face persecution if we truly follow the Lord Jesus. John 15:20 addresses this. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But Jesus left us a promise that when we face persecution, we are not alone. Mark 13:11 presents that promise to us. Turn with me to Mark 13:11. You can underline this in your Bible or make a note of it, because it's important for us to hide this away in our heart and remember this when those times of persecution come across our lives. Mark 13:11 says, "But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. For whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." God's Spirit will give us the words to speak when we are confronted because of our faith in Him. This is a great promise in a couple of different ways. One is that we don't need to worry about what our words will be. And secondly, we're encouraged, but we will also say exactly what Jesus wants us to say. There are many examples of the apostles being confronted for their faith in God's word. And there are many examples when this occurred that they were filled with the Holy Spirit to speak boldly of the Lord. One that is well known is in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." The boldness that came from the Holy Spirit fell in their hearts. Peter and John were confronted for sharing the gospel of Jesus and healing the lame man in Jesus' name. When arrested, they spoke boldly before the Sanhedrin. Turn to Acts chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 through 12. You're probably all familiar with this, but I think it's certainly worth reading. "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.' Peter's words were given to him by the presence of the Holy Spirit." This is one of the great examples in God's word of the application of Mark 13:11. "Just as they spoke boldly and were brave, so we can be in his power." Be strong. When we think of being strong, our minds recall an image of a strong man, a weightlifter, bodybuilder, whatever it might be. That's physical strength, and that isn't the strength referred to here. It's defined in Acts 15:16. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This strength is about living a godly life in the faith and placing others above ourselves. It is not about having arrogance and confidence and doing what you want to do. It is about having great humility in our strength. It's not the strength that is shown by the world, whereby we cry out for attention and we say, look at me, look how strong I am. But rather, we quietly serve our Lord in the humility that comes to us through his blessing. Being strong in the Lord is a direct contradiction to how the world views strength. When we're brave and we're strong, we're doing that through the power of the Lord Jesus working in our hearts. Not because of what we do, not because of what we know. Let all that you do be done with love. There's much written in Scripture regarding love within the context of the Christian life. Many, many verses about love in the New Testament as well as the Old. John 13:34-35, Romans 12:10-13:8, Hebrews 10:24 are just a few examples of what the Scriptures have to say about love. These verses all have one theme. Love one another just as Christ loved us, as was demonstrated when he died on the cross and he rose again to take away the punishment for our sins. That was a selfless love. That was a love that was completely devoted. That was a love that gave us everything that we have. One silly little thing that I heard regarding commitment, but it's really kind of pointed. You got a ham and egg breakfast in front of you, and the chicken was committed. He gave you the eggs, but the pig was really committed. And that's a silly little antidote, but it really emphasizes how committed Christ was to us. Because God had set before him the cross, and he was obedient to his heavenly Father. He suffered and died on that cross, rose again so that we can be in the presence of the Lord through his righteousness. Because we all have a sin nature, there may be times, I should say there will be times when we are separated from God because of a sin in our life. It's not that God has moved away from us, it's because we have moved away from God because we've allowed that sin to become more important than God. Jesus knew this, and in his letter to the Galatians, Paul addressed it. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be strong, lest you also be tempted." How important that is. When we think of watching, we think of from the perspective we see what individuals do. We do that in not such a way to judge them or to say, well, you can't be a Christian if you act like that. The most important thing that we can do is we can watch and see what we do. We all have a witness. We've talked about this many times in the past. We have a witness for the Lord. That's why it's so important that we should watch and see what we do so that we bring honor and glory to God by the things that we do. It's easy to stumble our toe, and it's not all that uncommon for us to do things that don't bring honor and glory to God. In 1 Corinthians verses 22, 23, Paul states regarding love, "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come." Pretty strong words. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. Christ talks about the fact that if we don't have love, then we don't have anything. Verse 23 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." The forgiveness that comes to us through Christ, that comes to us because of the love that God had for us, is what separates us from the world. Without God's love for us, we would never have had the Christ Jesus as our Savior. So how we live is seen by those around us. I pray that the witness that we have for the Lord is one that brings honor and glory to Him. God's Word presents to us how we can live a life pleasing to our Lord and Savior. When we read these letters to the different churches and we read parts of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's always good for us to stop and remember that we have the entirety of God's Word before us. We know exactly what took place. We know exactly what's going to take place. And we have all of this information in front of us, and yet we act as if we are ignorant of what God's Word says. And perhaps in many ways we are, because we don't spend time studying God's Word. For most of us, probably all of us around here anyway, we haven't come from a history of Judaism, as the people in the church at Corinth did, or pagan worship. But we have come from a life outside of a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. And there will always be that temptation to allow those things that were a part of our life prior to coming to know the Lord Jesus to return and to become a part of who we are. This is especially true if you're raised in a home where perhaps the Lord is not spoken of, and you grow up and you don't have that training that you might have received going to church all your life as a young adult or as a young child. It's easy to have those tendencies to become a part of who you are, and you allow them to come into your life again, not recognizing what you're doing. Some of it is done out of ignorance, out of habit. Some of it is done out of choice. That temptation will always be there. That's why it's so important that we watch, looking at ourselves. Are we living in a way that brings honor and glory to God? Or are we living the way we did before Christ became a part of our lives? God's Word says we are a new creation. We are born again because of the faith in Jesus. Nicodemus was amazed at this. He says, "How can this be? How can a man enter into his mother's womb again?" And that wasn't what Christ was talking about. But what it really refers to is now we're different than we were. Because the Lord Jesus now in part of our lives, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We are different than we were before. If we allow ourselves to act the way that we did before we were saved, we bring dishonor upon our Lord and Savior. A new man or a woman is how we are described. Being born again conjures up the image of a new start, a new life, a new way of living, a life full of new priorities. We all look back upon our lives as we grow and as we mature and we see things that we've done. There's probably not a parent in the world that looks back and said, "Boy, I sure messed up with my kids. I wished I would have done this. I wished I would have done that." We've all heard that saying, hindsight's 20/20. That's always going to be the case. And when the Lord Jesus comes to be a part of our lives and the Holy Spirit indwells us, we must look forward to what we can do in the future to bring honor and glory to God. 1 Corinthians 16, those verses 13 through 14, reminds us of how we are to live our life in Christ. It says, "Watch. Stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love." John 15:4 tells us we are unable to do the things that God has set before us in our own strength. We can only do it through the strength of the Lord Jesus. And he has promised to give us that strength. We don't have to stumble around. We don't have to worry about how we're going to accomplish this. We just simply be willing to yield ourselves to God's will. So in closing, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, which I believe will leave us with encouragement and promise. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Let's pray that that's the words that we can hide in our hearts and we can remember those. Pray for God's strength and his guidance as we live a life honoring and glorifying to him. When you think of the words that we've just read and we look at that verse, I think it's always good to think about how are we going to apply these to our lives? How are we going to be different because of being able to stand here or sit here and hear God's word? It's different for each one of us. It's always an application that applies to our lives because we're all different people. When we watch, be aware of what's going on. Is that person honoring the Lord with what he does? Don't fall into temptation. Stand fast in the faith. Don't give up. Be brave, be strong, just like Peter and John were when they were before the Sanhedrin. And most importantly, let all that we do be done with love. It's easy to be critical. It's easy to be judgmental. And that's not the point of coming alongside a believer that is struggling. The point is to come alongside them with love to restore them into a right relationship with God. Well, we're a little bit early. Are there any comments, questions? Richard.
Sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depths nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a promise that is very dear.
Amen. Yes. It is. God never walks away from us. We walk away from him sometimes. Any other comments? Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord. We've had this opportunity to look at your word, and Lord, and as Richard mentioned, Father, you are so faithful to us, and we are, for the most part, a very unfaithful people, Lord. And yet your love for us is what strengthens us, guides us, gives us that wisdom that we need, Lord, that we can walk worthy of you in your son's eyes. Thank you, Father, for the love and the hope that we have through Christ. We just thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. May the Holy Spirit guide each one of us. May we be resistant to the things of the world, and may we embrace those things, Lord, that your Bible tells us to be true. So, Lord, in your son's holy name, we praise you. Amen.